So our reading is from Colossians chapter 2 and verses 6 to 7. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, we thank you that you speak to us in so many different ways. But we thank you that one of the ways in which you speak to us is through your written word. Pour your Holy Spirit afresh upon us this morning, that as we reflect together on Paul's words, we may meet with Jesus, your living word, and hear his particular word for each one of us today. To the glory of his name. Amen. Well, we've been thinking about those wonderful fruit of the Spirit. Can I do it? I haven't written them down. Can you do it with me? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, patience, self-control. Well done. And we've been reflecting on how they are the characteristics of Jesus, which God wants to grow in us for our blessing, but also for the blessing of other people, so that amazing as it may seem, they encounter Jesus in us and through us. Isn't that just fantastic? Ordinary people like you and me can be channels of God's love and grace, encouragement, hope, peace to other people. We thought about several images yesterday, but one of them was this image of the tree. In Psalm 1 and Jeremiah 17, the tree planted by the waterside that lets its roots go down deep, that withstands droughts and storms. And that's the same image here in this passage from Colossians. Paul says to the Christians in Colossae, who he has never met, but who we thought a bit about yesterday, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, let your roots go deep into him, be built up in him, nourished in him, nurtured in him, abounding in thanksgiving. Roots give trees stability and nurture. We've had some amazing storms up here in the north of England recently. I don't know whether you've had them where you live. And it always amazes me that actually not more trees come down. Because their roots give them stability to withstand the storm. I showed you a picture of my poor plum tree yesterday, the one that thrived for a couple of years and then died. I don't seem to have much success with trees. I managed to grow many things, but a long time ago now, in the 1990s, well, it seems quite a long time ago, I was living in a house in Wakefield, provided by the diocese, but it was an ordinary house. It wasn't a vicarage. I wasn't being a vicar. And the garden had been planted either by somebody who knew what they were doing or who had employed somebody. So there was a beautiful selection of trees and shrubs around the garden, but there was nothing near the house. So I like things near the house where I can see them. It wasn't a huge garden, but I just thought, oh, it'd be really nice to have a bed here at the front of the lawn. So I dug it up, took the turf off, dug it over, did all the things you're supposed to do with it. And right in the, I was saying the centre, it was towards the back of it, but you know what I mean. In pride of place, I planted an Acer palmatum atropurpureum or something like that it's called. You know, one of those lovely sort of dark red crimson ones with spiky leaves that look beautiful through all the seasons. And it thrived. It thrived for several years. And then one year, nothing. The leaves didn't come. I thought, oh, what's happened to my poor tree? Well, I'll have to dig it up. And I did dig that one up, unlike the plum tree that I haven't yet dug up. And when I dug it up, I realised that it had still got the mesh round the roots in which the seed or the cutting had been planted. That wasn't obvious when I planted the tree. It was in a nice big pot, and I sort of shook it around a bit, as you do, make sure that the roots were free. But those roots had been restricted. And for a while, it had thrived. But eventually, the mesh had won. We are set free in Christ. If you like, the mesh has been cut off the roots, so that each one of us has the potential to grow stronger in God, to grow more of the fruit of the Spirit as we let our roots go down deep into Him. Paul reminds them, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord. It all begins with God's gift. We love God because God first loved us. That's amazing, isn't it? Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, should die for me? That's the foundation. That's what we're planted into with all the potential that that gives. But as we were thinking yesterday, although growing fruit is not something we do by our own efforts, it's something that God does in us by His Spirit as He makes us more like His Son Jesus, as He shines His torchlight onto us and says, well, I love this bit about you, but how about that bit? Are you going to do something about that? Are you going to cooperate with me? Are we going to be in partnership together? So it's not all our responsibility. In fact, I will stick with that one. It's not all our responsibility. But we can only grow fruit as we respond to the love of God in Jesus. And of course, fruit takes time to grow. There are plenty of plants that are seasonal and annual, and you know, we've got lovely crops of apples this year, haven't we? Other fruit takes longer, and it takes time for trees to get to maturity. We live in an instant world. You know, I can put something on my computer one night and it arrives the next day. We can go and buy a ready meal and stick it in the microwave. We're used to response. We send an email to somebody and get very cross if they haven't replied within 24 hours. Well, I tried not to, but there's plenty of people who say, "Did you get my email?" "Yeah, I did, and I was a bit busy, and it wasn't top of my priority list." Of course, I'm far too nice to say that to them. But it's the sort of culture we're in, and we get infected by the culture that we live in. But actually, God's culture is different. 1,000 ages in your sight are like a day. God's got time. God's got time working in us and through us. So don't beat yourself up if you haven't got instant holiness. I promised you yesterday that we would, as part of this service, see a little video which I first saw when Annie and I were doing a day together. Just want you to reflect on the time it takes for this little avocado plant to grow. Isn't that just wonderful? It's such fun. I love the way that the leaves wave as they grow. I think it's singing praise songs, maybe. And that was, what, 125, 126 days. How long will it be? I don't know the answer to this. Before that avocado plant begins to bear some fruit. And how long before that fruit begins to mature? So if you're the impatient sort, be patient with yourself. But continue to look to God to grow that fruit in your life. It's tempting to believe that it all depends on us, but it doesn't. But one thing maybe you could do as you're preparing to go home is think, what one thing has God said to me this weekend? It might be a promise. It might be a challenge. It might be something else, a reassurance. I asked yesterday morning, what three fruit would you like to grow more in your life? Or maybe if you've used the prayer stations this morning, you've thought, oh, that's what I really need to focus on, Lord. And perhaps for some of you, one of the holy habits that we thought about yesterday, reflecting at the end of the day with the examen or whatever you want to call it, or writing a journal, or finding somebody to walk alongside you, will help your journey to continue when you leave. Yeah. But something else that will help you, Paul mentions at the end of that passage. This is not the NIV version, but it says, "Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness." In the next chapter of Colossians, Paul encourages them on a similar sort of theme to clothe themselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiving one another. Does it bear some resemblance to what he said to the Galatians? I think so. Compassion, kindness, humility. And then he concludes, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." We saw yesterday how Paul gave thanks for these people who he'd never met because he knew the seed of new life in Jesus had been planted in them and they'd responded to it. Another discipline, if you like, that can help us to continue to grow and draw up nourishment from God is the practice of thanksgiving. I know somebody who's going through a really difficult time just said, I'm going to find one thing to thank God for every day. Thanksgiving changes our perspective. Thanksgiving helps us to remember who God is and who we are and his great love for each one of us. So as we go home from Scargill, and whether you're going home and it'll be a long, long time before you come here again, I spoke to somebody who hadn't been here for quite a long time on the first night, or whether you're a regular offender, repeat offender, and we'll see you again very shortly. My prayer for you as you go is that you would continue to let your roots go down deep into Christ, to draw up nourishment from him, and then you will know the stability that God gives to face the storms that we all face in our ordinary lives. Amen.